Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may ever be seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like the seed sown along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." This is what God wants to say to us.
Who's getting a bit chilly? I was in Samara doing a conference for students, and they showed us a photograph of a group getting baptized. It was midwinter, the snow was deep, and there's about 50 people queuing up to get baptized in the snow. The river, the Volga, was iced over. They'd punched a hole in it, and in this photograph, there was this poor minister, Chris, thank your lucky stars, that he had to stand there for all 50 as they were baptized. So if you're feeling cold, just think of that. I don't know if you've ever thought why it is that when cells divide, the daughter cells are the same as the parent cell. This used to be a puzzle in Victorian times. They couldn't understand it. But now we all know the answer, don't we? It's DNA. The script or word that controls everything that goes on. Now, our passage today discusses what is it that makes us into real Christians. It doesn't matter what our background is, what our denomination is. It's the script or word of God that directs all we do. And if we don't learn to feed on it, to live by it, then we'll go off course and eventually we will die spiritually. You know, when life is at its high when you're in love, you first get married, and everything's bliss. But we all know the recent figures are that, 50% of marriages end up broken? But the real joy in a marriage is working at it, learning to please your spouse, doing what is right, even when it's hard. Now, the unfortunate thing is there are now similar figures, not quite so bad, for people who get baptized. That the, as we've heard, the cares of the world can creep in and people can drift away from the Lord Jesus, from his word and from his church. So Jesus wants us to come back to basics. And the parable of the soils, often called the, what's it called? The sower, is highly relevant. Now, Jesus is teaching a large crowd. If you look at the text, if you've got it in front of you, he's teaching a large crowd on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's called the Lake. And he gets into the boat and starts to teach them. And showing his wisdom, he sits down and doesn't try teaching standing up. There he tells them this story. We know he often talks in parables, and he does so here. He starts. Do you look at it? Farmer sows a seed, and some falls on the path. Some falls on the stony ground. Some falls amongst thorns, and some falls on good ground and produces a great return, 30, 60, or 100-fold. And then he finishes. Verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now the disciples, thankfully, say, look, please tell us what this means. I'm very glad they do that, because otherwise we probably wouldn't have a clue what really this was about. It's a good thing these disciples ask questions. Look at verse 11. It's all about the secret of the kingdom of God. Oh, we know the secret of how cells replicate. We know the secret of happy marriages. But here we have the secret of the kingdom of God, which is very important. What is its secret? Can you see there? Look at 14 to 20. Just scan down. Something keeps being repeated. I counted one word comes 8 times, and it is the word. Now that must be significant, mustn't it? The farmer, 14, sows the word. Unfortunately, if it falls on the pathway, it's just snatched away. The rocky ground receives the word with joy, but no root because of the trouble or persecution. And look what it says, because of the word. Those like the ground covered with weeds, they hear the word, then troubles begin. Verse 19, the worries of life, deceit of wealth, desires for other things choke the word. Now, those like the good ground then hear the word, accept it, and go on to maturity, producing lots of fruit. Now, it's pretty obvious, isn't it, that the kingdom of God is all about the message of Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less. The farmer is Jesus. If you go through Mark's gospel, you can see that Jesus' job at this stage was to teach people God's message, the word, up until his climactic death, where he died, as we've heard, for our sin. So Jesus is the sower of the word. And this is a parable emphasizing the importance of all of us hearing and obeying the word of God in Jesus. Now, those who are in God's kingdom, get this, they hear and obey Jesus the King, and they produce fruit for him. Now, we Christians, we've given up the right to control our own lives. Jesus is now our King. We've surrendered our lives to him. We've submitted to Jesus as our ruler. And baptism, that we're just about to see, is a visual aid of this. It's washing away the sin of the old life. It's death to the old life. We're starting a new life as God's people. This idea of a radical Christian life, it's not just for the religious types. It's not just for the vicars, the monks and the nuns and others. No, it's for every Christian. It's for people like you and me. All Christians are living under and seeking to live under the authority of Jesus. We listen to his word and we obey it. Jesus said that he's come to give life as a ransom for many. And that means for me, for Sally, for Vicky, for Lucy, for Lizzie. It's wonderful. You see, it's only because he died to take responsibility for my sin, and he can only do that if he's God, that I've got a hope of heaven. In fact, better, I've got a ticket for heaven. My king has saved me. But you can't have a king if you're going to keep arguing with him. It doesn't work. He's not king. No, I now want to live my life according to Jesus. At a Christian Basics course we ran in a large Roman Catholic church a few years back, there was a discussion afterwards with a young man. And he says, look, I am seeking to please Jesus, but in most situations I find, I honestly don't know what Jesus would have done. There are many people today like that. You see, Christians seek to discover the mind of God by reading his word, hearing his word taught. And a good church helps you do that. That's what it means to be in good soil. Now, those people who are being baptized today, what they're saying is, look, I'm seeking to live under the authority of Christ, my King. Now, that means that our careers, our love lives, our money, our time, all is now under the authority of our King. But just look down at this text, would you? See what will interrupt this relationship with Jesus. Verse 15. The seed, the word of God, is sown on the path, and Satan swoops down and takes it away. Gone. You see, the word of God is in conflict with our selfish lives. And if we say, well, I'm not interested in what God has to say, I want to stay in charge of my own life, that's this person. You know, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to what you want. S-I-N. He's out to destroy us, and the easiest way for Satan to destroy us is to stop God's word getting into us. He'll do everything he can to stop you going to church. The main purpose of a church is to teach you the Bible. It's not rituals, it's not singing. They're there, but the main purpose is to learn the word of God. He'll stop you joining in a Bible study group. He'll stop you reading the Bible in the morning. If that's happening to you, you know that it's not really at the centre. I'm afraid there's no chance whatsoever for you to go on and produce fruit for God. Satan doesn't want you to be godly. There's a war on. He doesn't want you to learn God's word. It's a great mistake, though, for people just to see this as relevant for those who are thinking of becoming Christians. It's there for all of us. Most people, most church people in this life, are not really producing much fruit for Jesus, and almost certainly it's because God's word is not central. If we're not repeatedly, regularly listening to what he says, we won't know how to think, how to behave, and we won't be motivated to live under Jesus' authority. Now the second one, a bit more quickly, 16, 17, rocky ground, they hear the word, they even get joyful at first, they get involved, and then they drift, they die off. Why? Trouble or persecution? Because of the word. We've heard that persecution is really growing. Jeremy Hunt, the Foreign Secretary, saying that persecution of Christians in some parts of the world is now near genocide levels. A recent review showed that 1 in 3 Christians in the world are being persecuted. Christians are the most persecuted group. You read this week about Nigeria, China. Yet here people are, perhaps they're not persecuted in that way, they're not killed, but they're bypassed at work because they're committed to Christ and they make it known. Christians at school can be laughed at. Remember Jesus said to us, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." So we've got to settle in our minds. If popularity is at the top of our ambitions, we cannot be Christ's man or woman. You know the words that are said at a baptism. Just listen to this. "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you will fight manfully under Christ's banner against sin, the world, and the devil, and continue his faithful soldier and servant until your life's end." That's what these folks are being committed to. Now, it may be some here on rocky ground. Now, if that is you, persecution cares, then get some compost. Mix it in. Turn the poor soil into good soil. How do you do that? By committing yourself to listening to the word of God on your own, in a good church, in a Bible study. Now the next group, 18 to 19, seed sown among thorns. What are those? Worries of this life. Who doesn't have them? Deceitfulness of wealth. Desires for other things. They're even good activities. Being too busy at work. Our hobbies are taking over. Our sports. They can choke the word of God. Not enough time. Not enough time for God's word and God's people. You see, we've got to make choices. Jesus has said to us, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat and what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. There's more to life." Do we all know this? He doesn't say these concerns aren't valid. Of course they are. Just that there's more to life, and that our Heavenly Father knows our needs. Park Jin-mi was a North Korean border guard. He kept North Koreans locked up in their country, and he kept contraband, particularly Bibles, out of North Korea. He then escaped across the Yalu River into China, and he had to be involved in a resettlement center, And there, a group of Christians had regular meetings, and his job was to put the Bibles out. Previously, he'd been told the Bible is the enemy. And here he was, laying out Bibles before the service began. And as he did so, he realized that he was holding a book that could have had him killed the other side of the border. So he started to read the Bible, and he found himself drawn to follow the Lord Jesus. He said this, "I didn't just read it like any other book. I read it and I took every word of the Bible into my heart." Now, I've almost finished. Can I just ask you, for all of us, are we really following Jesus the King? Or at least, how's it going? Have you known better days? As we said, perhaps some horticulture's needed, a bit of compost, perhaps some weeding's got to be done. Let's get back to those times where we knew we were walking very closely with God. Remember, only the soil that bears good fruit will be in God's kingdom. That's the point here. God wants fruitful Christians. It's not those of us who start well who get the prize, but those who finish the race. And that's what people being baptized are committing themselves to. And us as Christians, as they are baptized, can just say to ourselves, this is me. I'm committed to God's word. Aren't you looking forward to hearing the King say, well done, good and faithful servant? Wouldn't that be wonderful? It may be that some people here have never actually started with Christ, with God, with the ruler and creator of this universe. But wouldn't it be a wonderful day to make this the time when you say, the God who made me is my God? Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you for the great promises of the Lord Jesus. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Thank you that your word keeps us now through life, through death, into eternity. And we just pray for ourselves. Lord, help us to be good soil. Help us to be those who hear the word of God, keep it, and who bear fruit. And we pray now for those who are publicly committing themselves to you today. Please strengthen them, give them courage. Lord, be with them, be with us, so that we'll all live to do your will. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.